Hello, hello. Joelle here. Fun fact, I actually tried to not say hello, hello the way that I always do. And turns out, I can't. I mean, I'm sure I could, but it feels weird and it doesn't sound right. So, anyway, that's my fun little tangent for all of you today. That's how I started podcasting, was figuring out if I could do a different little introduction for myself. Turns out, not something my brain is ready for. Oh, so I have a cool mini so topic for this week. So I'm recording this ahead of time. So what is this? This is right before New Year's. And so kind of related to the holidays, but also not directly related to only the holidays, if that makes sense. So I wanted to talk about kind of communication. It's something that's been top of mind. I've been working through some different communication things at work and some different communication things between Tyler and I, and that's been a really big growth area for me this year. And so I wanted to kind of tap into some of what I've been learning about, and also realizing that at this time and being like quarantined and really in front of the same people, I think a lot, there's not a large variety of people that I'm seeing and talking to and communicating with, and that kind of tension that happens when you're around some of the same people and you're talking about some of the same things over and over again. And that I noticed some of that with Tyler and I, especially, where I'm like, we've had this conversation. I feel like we've had it a million times and I feel like it's not going anywhere, but there's also nowhere to go physically either. So that this conversation can just like simmer, or the topic can just like die down and not be so heated, and because you're just stuck all together all the time. So some of that kind of stuff came to mind, and I started thinking about listening. Communication, of course, is speaking, but also it is listening. And there is a lot to be said for being a good listener, a strong listener, and knowing how to listen really well. And that is something that I definitely I'm definitely looking to grow in. And part of that is for, I am definitely in communication as part of my job. But also being in relationships with people, you need to be able to communicate well. And part of that is listening. So I started looking up some of what I could find for listening, and actually pulling out some of the things that I've used just to help myself in this area before. So I'm going to go over that today. And so to start off is just a little bit, kind of about listening, I guess. And so there, I have a couple articles. I'll make sure that I link to those for you guys if you want to read like the full-blown article, but, one of which is called The Art of Listening. So, this one kind of talks about how there are a couple of different kinds of listening. And so there, and I thought this example was really great. So if you were to be, you're with a friend and one of you, says, cool, let's go do something together. And then in this example, they're talking about going to, a park. So, in this sort of listening, we tend to be really, this tends to be kind of our go-to listening mode. And it's called, what he's calling it in this article is responsive listening. So the primary purpose of responsive listening is to just have like that exchange of information between you and another person. It's probably going to involve some problem solving. And this kind of listening manifests in like a self-based kind of, if this happens, then that could happen. Or if they say this, then my response is this. And so that kind of like feedback pattern is initiated in this responsive listening. And so it's a pattern that we're really familiar with. And it's one that we probably do and we slip into really quickly. And so for, you know, for example, if your friend answers a question about how they'd like to spend time together, they want to be outside and so on and so forth. And then you're like, okay, let's go to a park. And then in your brain, you're trying to take the information that they're giving you and turn it into some kind of like solution, where it's just like, okay, what do I feel like doing? How am I feeling? And then you kind of like take into account like your own concerns and the logistics that you're seeing and your own desires. And then you respond, and to move the conversation forward, you're responding in a way, you're responding to that information that they gave you. So they might then say, okay, great, I like that. But I'm going to need to be home for this, and I have kids that I have to go pick up, or, you know, I need to get home to make dinner, that kind of thing. And so then you're taking that information in, and you're like, okay, I have my own dinner plans to make. And okay, so great. Sounds like, we can leave now and we'll get there and we can, you know, walk through the park, and then we both have to leave by 4 so that we can get home, you know, to our respective houses and continue on with our day. And so this like kind of just like continuing to respond one layer after another to each other. So this is that responsive listening. We do it automatically. That was a way over explanation of something that we probably do like super quickly and very naturally, and we definitely don't think twice about it. We're not like, oh, this is my own desire, and I'm thinking about how that fits with that person's communicated desires and so on. So, but another piece to this that he goes over in the article is, so in this negotiation, right, this little like our day in the park kind of a thing, you're listening to what your friend has stated while you are also considering your own wishes, which is called like a self basis. And in order to respond appropriately, which is a feedback exchange, and arrive at a mutual goal, a share, which is, you know, going to the park, then, you know, it rests on our, this like communication cooperation is requiring, it requires us to have the ability to communicate and then really just get things done. So that's why we see this happen a lot. And it's why we see it oftentimes come through in like a work mode, like when your brain is in work mode. And there's not anything wrong at all with this type of listening. But that sort of listening is not always what we're seeking when we're looking for a relationship to grow, or when we are having tougher conversations, or we're spending a lot of time around each other and we want something that's not just transactional to be happening in that conversation. And so that responsive listening is not really the best option if you are looking to interact with someone in like a vulnerable state. You don't want to be in that type of communication mode, that type of listening mode, just responsive listening, when it's in like an emotional situation. And it And that also goes, that goes both ways. That wouldn't feel super great to you probably. And it's definitely not going to feel really great to the person who is being vulnerable with you as well. And so that kind of, you know, emotional intimacy means that you have to kind of go deeper into listening than you might automatically kind of fall into. And so what he calls that deeper level of listening is explorative listening. And that kind of listening, the goal is really just to be with the other person as they're speaking, which seems really simple. Like, it seems simpler than responsive listening because you're like, oh, I don't actually have to like problem solve. So I can just sit and listen. But really, it's much more difficult because we are focusing on the other person and we're trying to see things from their side instead of that like self, kind of like self-focused. We're trying to process the information that they're telling us, kind of like trying like, what's the phrase? You're trying to put yourself in their shoes instead of just being like, oh, this is what's important to me and this is how I feel and this is what I'm thinking and I'm going to express that. You have to kind of like flip it around and put yourself in their shoes, which is actually quite difficult. And you're not looking to have like a specific goal met. And you're trying not to just have a reflexive answer, driven by your own kind of like wishes. And so, there are some kind of like subcategories of this, explorative listening. And so these might actually sound a little bit more familiar: attentive listening, active listening, and then interpersonal empathetic listening, or just empathetic listening is what I've generally heard it as. And those are just a few, but those probably sound a little bit more familiar than explorative listening. But these, like I said, you're focusing on kind of like listening to them and also processing from their point of view. You're more likely to use verbal and nonverbal cues that you are actually listening, that you are paying attention, you're understanding, and then also you're going to much greater lengths to communicate verbally and nonverbally that you're not judging them. And then that brings on kind of like this empathetic kind of word where like you are trying to have curiosity about the situation and you're listening without judgment. And so because it shifts focus away from ourselves, it can be really kind of uncomfortable. It's not how our brains are wired to necessarily listen first. And so that can, you know, that can be challenging. And then he goes on to explain kind of like in the different scenarios, what a good, way to do this deeper listening is, which I thought was great. So it's doing things like, kind of like a reassuring type of verbal communication, which is like, oh yeah, mm-hmm, and that kind of thing. And of course, nonverbally, it's, you know, you generally have a more open posture. You are making eye contact with them, but not in any kind of like creepy, intense way. a lot of times people will nod along, and maybe even at the same time, like, mm-hmm, yeah, okay. And then you also want to make sure that you kind of like say things that are encouraging, of course. And so, you know, one of the I guess, examples is like, I'm here, I'm with you. You know, I'm just listening. I'll go along with what you're saying. Those kinds of things tend to get, it just kind of gives them permission to continue speaking, knowing that you are going to just be listening. You know, prompting them things like, oh, go on. And, questions like, I wonder why that is. Sometimes just silence, and, you know, that can go a long way to kind of express to them that, hey, I'm in it for you, just to listen. And that actually can be really hard, because sometimes they might be saying something that you are ready to jump in on and you have a really big opinion about and what have you, but the better option in the long run might be just to continue to listen. And it might actually be more hurtful for you to jump in and give your opinion than it is just for you to write it out and let them just talk. And that can be really hard. And that's where I really struggle, is because I am a problem solver, and I immediately am ready. As people talk and tell me about what's happening with them, I usually try to jump in to problem solving mode, and I'm thinking about how to solve whatever problem I think that they're telling me while they're still telling me about it, which is a problem, right? Because that means I've stopped listening. And that goes back to some of the stuff that, you know, Caleb and I have talked about, where like your attention, we did the podcast all about kind of how attention is working in your brain. And this is a great example of that, where my brain is problem solving instead of actually finishing listening to what they're saying, which is a bummer for me. And it's a bummer realization to have, because it doesn't feel good thinking about like, oh yeah, I didn't actually listen to that person, and I'm sure that they probably didn't feel that great about it. Like, I wasn't actually being helpful. If anything, I could have like hurt their feelings, because maybe they felt like I wasn't listening. And so this is difficult. And so I think there's more in the article, and he kind of wraps it up nicely, but that's the gist of it, is, you know, and if you ever want to, like, you can Google attentive listening, and there's oftentimes some really great tips in there. Okay, so if we're thinking about listening and we're thinking about mindfulness, which we oftentimes do for this podcast, and some actionable things. So I want to talk about kind of like mindful listening. So let's take the idea of a mindfulness, you know, practice, which is paying attention and being open to the present moment, right? Something that we're pretty familiar with by now, I believe. And so mindful listening is about being fully present when you're interacting with others. And this means like choosing to be fully present and fully engaged and attentive listening. Those kinds of things are a choice, right? So it's about choosing that, and not thinking about your to-do list, and while, you know, while your loved ones are talking about how work is going or whatever. So like, you know, this is how it pertains kind of to the holidays to me, at least, is like, okay, in those situations where maybe you're seeing people that you haven't seen, or perhaps, right, you're still around the same people you've been spending all this time with because of COVID, and being around some of the same people all the time. And so how do you engage in being mindful and listening? And being fully present instead of just kind of like slipping into that, like, oh my gosh, yeah, I've heard this person talk in my ear for the last whatever 100 and some days of sitting inside with them for the majority of the hours or whatever. So I think it goes both ways. When you're around family you haven't seen, you definitely want to make the most of it. You want to be listening to them, and engaging in what's important to them. And at the same time, it can be really easy to kind of take for granted the people that you do talk to the most. And so let's flip it, and let's engage in this mindful listening so that we can be we can be good listeners and we can have good, you know, relationship building communication happening. And so this talks about some of the kind of a little bit of the science, of course, and talks about how listening is a socio-cognitive activity that's affected by our past experience and then also our future expectations. And so this is kind of ties into that like responsive listening a little bit, how it's like, okay, you take in the information, right? And then you are kind of like filtering it through like, okay, my past experiences with this person and my past experiences about this topic. And then you're also thinking kind of into the future, right? Our brains already are usually trying to look to the future and deal with our future expectations. So when your brain is on autopilot, we're most likely, and I thought this was really interesting, we're more likely to listen closely to people who have control over our future, which would be like so you're in an interview, you're more likely to listen to your potential new boss than you are somebody else talking to you. And we're more likely to listen to somebody who has control over our future than we are someone we don't expect to ever see again. And so we kind of like use this filter as we're listening. And that can be bad. Because you might be cutting out information that's important. So awareness of the factors that influence what we listen for and who we listen to can actually empower us to change our listening habits. So I thought that was a really kind of encouraging thing where it's just like, okay, if you can be aware of these things that go into listening, then you have the ability to change them and adjust them and be better. So we can listen verbally, non-verbally, relationally, and using all five senses. So when we listen relationally, which is by like reading between the lines based on what we know about the relationship and our conversation partner from our past experiences. And when we do this, we can actually experience higher quality conversations with others. And we can also build quality relationships with others and improve the relationships we are already in by doing this. And so we want to use all of our senses to listen. So listening mindfully requires us to comprehend what the other person is truly saying, which also means paying attention to more than their words, because if you've ever talked to somebody, the nonverbal cues can be huge. And then in the process of that, kind of like creating a really good listening moment in time, we also want to make sure that they know we are paying attention to them. And so we do this by showing interest and support, by maintaining eye contact, nodding, smiling, encouraging them to express their thoughts. What that really comes down to, I thought this article said it really well, is being emotionally involved in their message and in the conversation. I've never really thought about it that before. I'm just like, sure, you could walk through the steps, but you guys have probably been on the receiving end of this at some point in time where somebody's just kind of like nodding and you're like, they're technically giving like listening cues that they're listening to you, but they also kind of aren't. Like, it's happened to me before where like somebody's on their phone and they like look up at me and they like nod, and then they look down back down at their phone, and they might like keep nodding or go mm-hmm, and I'm like, they're totally not listening, they're doing something on their phone. So you can kind of fake some of these good, right, quote unquote good listening like cues. But I think a lot of times the other person can kind of call your bluff. And so thinking about it and being like, okay, I'm going to be emotionally involved in this conversation. Like, I'm actually going to buy in and I'm going to truly listen, and I'm going to listen with all five senses. I think that, that was a great kind of light bulb moment for me. And so, this article also mentioned psychologist Marshall B. Rosenberg's book called Nonviolent Communication, which says that mindful listening is receiving empathetically. Receiving empathetically requires us to really hear what others are observing, feeling, needing, and requesting. He defines empathy as emptying our mind and listening with our whole being. Emptying our minds to fully be present with someone else while they are sharing with us can be really hard. Kind of like what we talked about, where like your brain automatically wants to go into like future mode and thinking about how you would like to respond and dealing with your own feelings and opinions and stuff like that. And so just like with a mindfulness practice, you do kind of have to like pull back from that default view and actually go, okay, I'm going to like push other things out of my mind as much as I possibly can, right? Just kind of like with meditation. And I'm going to focus on like this one thing that's right in front of me, like being present right now in this moment. And so, yeah, talks about this is how this is difficult. And then lastly, we're going to talk through 5 ways to be a better listener. So, number 1, check inside. How am I feeling just now? Is there anything getting in the way of being present for the other person? If something is in the way, decide if it needs to be addressed first or can it wait till later? And this is one that I've been using a lot with work stuff where I'm like, okay, I'm in the middle of something, but I know that this person wants my attention. Can I actually give that to them? Can I actually truly listen, or am I going to be doing other things? Which isn't fair to them, right? I should just say, hey, I need to wrap this up and then I'll be right with you. Or, hey, I'm tied up in this thing. Can I get back to you? So that is also okay. And I oftentimes have to kind of like give myself permission where I'm just like, it's okay to tell them that I'm busy right now. And I've also found that, I don't know, even sometimes, with like family and friends and like getting a hold of each other, because everyone's kind of like, you know, a lot of people are working from home and you know that they have their phone out a lot more than they might if they were in the workplace and that kind of thing. And so there's this like kind of weird expectation that people will answer pretty quickly because like they may not be doing something that they can't pull out their phone. You know, you get what I'm saying. So that expectation just kind of like reset it of just being like, yeah, I know I'm at home and I'm working, but I'm still working and I'm still trying to stay focused. So check inside is number 1, and make sure that you are actually going to be able to be present for that other person. Number 2, feeling your own sense of presence. Extend it to the other person with the intention to listen fully and openly with interest, empathy, and mindfulness. Number 3, silently note your own reactions as they arise. Keyword, silently. So you don't want to interrupt them with your reactions necessarily, right? Obviously, there are some reactions like smiles and laughter and gasps of surprise, that kind of thing. But, you know, just try as hard as you can to silently note your own reactions. So thoughts, feelings, especially judgments, memories, and then try and return your attention to the speaker. And it's almost kind of like making a mental note of kind of like just with, I mean, yeah, it's like when you're doing a mindfulness practice and you have a thought that pops up or a feeling or a judgment or whatever, and you're just like, oh, okay, sounds good. And then like you come back to what you're trying to meditate on. Same kind of concept. Number 4, reflect back what you are hearing. So using the speaker's own words whenever possible, paraphrasing or summarizing their main point, helps the other person feel heard. So that one's definitely not a new one. I feel like I said, if you were to Google like good listening skills, this is probably one of the first things that they tell you to learn how to do, is repeating back things that people have said. And doing so accurately builds kind of like that reputation with the other person that you're listening well. Because I've totally used it in the opposite way to kind of like prove my point that I know they're not listening. Where I'd be like, okay, what did I just say? And that, by the way, is not a, that's not a great habit. It's not a nice thing to do to somebody else. But it usually does prove your point. If you really think they're not listening, they're not going to be able to say anything. So when you can summarize and use someone else's words to show that you truly are listening, it can build a good reputation. And then number five, last but not least, use friendly, open-ended questions to clarify your understanding and probe for more. Affirm before you defer. So acknowledge the other person's point of view, which acknowledging does not always mean that you are agreeing, but acknowledge their point of view before introducing your own ideas or feelings or requests. And I think that this one is huge. So instead of interrupting, and I think that this one goes along with number three, which is to silently note your own reactions as they arise. I think that this goes along with that really closely, where you want to continue to listen to them and hear them out completely, and then acknowledge that before you kind of, you know, bring it back to what you may have, whatever reactions you've had. Cool. That is listening. That's a lot about listening. I hope that can be help, especially the last bit. I hope that gives you guys some tangible pieces to kind of take with you, take in your back pocket for interactions upcoming, especially with holidays, and then thereafter. I hope that it's useful in any situation that you have coming up, where listening can be really, really important. It was top of mind for me, and I thought that it was really appropriate after some of the interactions I've had and thinking forward to kind of what my holiday season might look like. And so I thought it would be a good one to cover for a holiday mini-sode. I hope you guys have a great week. Like I said, this is probably going to go live right before New Year's. So the next time you hear from me, it will be in 2021. It's crazy. And then you guys can look forward to Caleb and I coming back after that first Monday in January. So I think I finally looked it up, right? After saying it the past couple times, I actually have a date. So our first podcast back, our full length podcast back, is going to be Monday, January 11th, 2021. Oh my goodness. Anyway, I hope you guys have a wonderful new year, and I will talk to you guys all again soon.